the main point of today's sermon. In order for us to effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world before Jesus returns, the church needs to exemplify success in every aspect of life so the world and, dare I say, Hollywood will want what we have. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, let your word do the talking. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Rennie for reading our scripture reading this morning. Let's all turn there to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This is part of the greatest sermon ever preached on planet Earth. This sermon has so much meat on the bone, Pastor Chris, that we can literally spend years and years and years preaching and teaching on each one of these texts, even a word in each one of these texts. Jesus knew when he preached this that it would be something that would sustain us and hold us and inspire us and encourage us to keep moving forward. Okay? Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world." Not maybe, not eventually. You are right now the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So he's giving you obvious facts. And if I'm not mistaken, he was standing in a city that was literally on a hill so that everybody there had to be able to see the city. You can't not see the city. You know, it's just like some teenagers, they think when they get a pimple or a zit, oh man, there's no way anybody can't see this. I mean, it's like right on my forehead, and I mean, this must be protruding, and it might hit people if I come too close to them, and they get nervous about this. But Jesus is talking about the city that cannot be hidden, right? Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Success. Success. The dictionary defines success as the favorable or prosperous termination of attempts or endeavors, or the accomplishment of one's goals. And obviously, most people get this with the attainment of wealth, positions, honors, or the like. Success is a performance or achievement that is marked by success as by the attainment of honors. Okay? Then lastly, the dictionary defines a person or thing that has had success as measured by attainment of goals, wealth, etc. Okay? I believe, and it's a very subtle, a very negative, but a subtle stigma that is in the church, but not really. It's not preached and taught, but it's kind of there with some mindsets and some belief patterns of individuals in the church that success is a negative thing. Success is what we should avoid at all costs. Success is something by no matter what, if you go towards success, the devil will just scoop you up and you'll be lost forever. And it's one of those weird kind of back in the back and you can't really tell where it's coming from, but it's like a undercurrent. Here is a quote from one of my new favorite books, Tara, from Devon Franklin. He wrote a book called The Hollywood Commandments. I strongly encourage everybody, and those of y'all listening online, whoever you are, The Hollywood Commandments by Devon Franklin. I promise you, you will not be able to put it down. It's powerful. And those of us that, especially that work in corporate America or, wherever you may work, let's say you, anybody who works outside of the church, people who are, that work inside the church, this book is for you. And he says in there, there was also, him growing up, an undercurrent of fear running through these warnings, right? It's part of a culture of fear, a beware mentality that is taught and widely enforced within communities of believers. Generations of well-meaning Christians who felt alarm bells going off in their spirits, urging them to live out their calling in the secular world to glorify God by achieving worldly success, chose not to pursue their destiny because the church convinced them they would go too far or lose their faith. Because of this, many never experienced the fullness of their lives and in turn missed out on the fullness of God. I believe with all my heart that there's lessons that we are to learn on the way towards success that we will never learn if we are okay and satisfied with status quo. Let me say that one more time. This is something extremely important for me, for us to get and understand. We cannot be successful. We cannot be the Christians that God wants us to be if we're satisfied with just getting baptized, coming to church, reading our Sabbath school quarterlies, and going home. And the Bible says one of my favorite texts, Hebrews 3:13 says, I'm slipping my mind right now, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. How does something become hardened? When it stops, when it sits, when it just allows the sun to just sit and bake on it, and all of a sudden you look up and you can't move. That happens all the time. And we as Christians are always and constantly, God is constantly calling us to growth and maturity. And I believe success is part of that growth. Your achievement in the world, I believe that God is trying to have lessons for you to learn and for people for you to influence on the way to success. And when you become successful, that you will never be able to touch and influence had you stayed at status quo. You have the talent, you have the ability, you have the gifts. But for whatever reason, we're going to talk about that, you froze. You stopped. You believed that negative stigma. Somewhere back there, our parents or whoever said, oh, well, you know, if you go and work over there, you'll be lost. You'll lose your faith. I want to say today that that is not what God has called us to do. And I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches either. Okay? Let's go. So let's go with verse 16. We're going to focus on verse 16. Woo! So the Bible says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, okay? Now, verse 16 says, let's focus on that one word, let. Now, growing up, I played a lot of basketball, was coaching and everything else, right? And so sometimes in basketball, and if you're playing, right, and if I'm playing, let's say I got LeBron James coming down the middle of the lane, okay, and I'm standing in the key. 6'8", 250, like a locomotive coming down the paint. Now I have to make a business decision on whether or not I'm going to go up and try to challenge his attempt to score and dunk the basketball. Now, if I'm making the wise business decision, I'm going to let LeBron James go and break the backboard or rim off. I'm going to get out of the way and say, I'll make up for it on the other end of the basketball court. Okay, maybe I'll get a three or something. I'm going to let. That means I'm going to get out of the way so that he could do his thing. God says, let your light so shine. The challenge for us, and there's three ways I believe that we are hindering God from allowing us and using us to be the light of the world. Three ways. Number one, ignorance. Ignorance. How many of us are still trying to figure out why we're here? How long we've been coming to church? How long we've been, you know, kind of going through the motions and not know what lane God has called you to run in, what gift he's given you, and what he wants you to accomplish here on earth? What is God's plan for your life? What are your spiritual gifts? What are your talents and abilities? We need to understand that ignorance is not an excuse for not doing the right thing. Just like the speed limit. Officer, I didn't know what the speed limit was. What's the officer going to say? You should have known. Here's a ticket. Ignorance doesn't get you off. It doesn't get you to skirt by. And it's the same thing with our call on God. And God never in a thousand lifetimes has ever said, oops. You are here by divine plan and purpose of God. And we need to accept that and know that we are here for a reason for us to be light. So we can't let ignorance be a hindrance to allowing God and His Spirit to radiate from us to be light. And light by default attracts. I need y'all to understand this thing, y'all. It's extremely important that we understand. Because when we are not allowing God to make us light by default, we are saying to others who are looking for light, I don't care about you. I don't think you're that important. Now, we don't really say this outwardly. We're nice Christians. And if y'all remember my other sermon, there's a big difference between being nice and being kind. Nice, not in the Word of God, kindness all over and through the Word of God. Let me keep going. I can't pause here. I can't stay here. Number two, hindrance to allowing God to, we have to let God, right? So we have to, number one, we have to get rid of ignorance. Number two, laziness. Laziness. The Bible says one of my favorite texts in the Bible is in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 13 tells us, this is one of my favorite promises, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If that thou would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command you this day to observe and to do. This text is telling me that God wants His people to be successful. He wants His people to be on top, to be CEO, COO, CFO. To be running corporations, not just having a job, but having a career, having a business. I believe a lot of us in here are not happy or not joyful in the Spirit of God because we have something that God has burdened us with, but we are hesitating. We are lazy towards making the effort towards success, towards reaching for the top, because it will kind of stretch us and exposing things in our spirit. Just like working out. You start working out, you're trying to get in shape. All those excuses start rising to the top. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's cold. Oh, it's hot. Oh, I'm sore. Oh, the gym is too far. Oh, I don't have enough gym clothes. I mean, excuse after excuse after excuse. It is not that God can't do miraculous things in our lives and open doors for us to use our gifts to be the head and not the tail, but some of us are lazy and don't want to wake up early, stay late, grind, and be productive. We just don't want to do it. I'm talking to myself, y'all. I know what, listen, you talk to my wife. I promise you, I know what lazy is all about. I'm going to be honest. Listen. If it's more than 15 minutes away, I'm strongly considering not going. It doesn't matter where it is. I'm telling y'all the truth. I'm all about convenience and closeness and devices and apps to make things convenient. My bank, everything. I don't do anything if I don't have to go. I'm all about convenience. But it's when it's time to be successful, when it's time to go to the next level, God is saying, I say, it's time to get up at 5 o'clock every morning. It's time. I'm bivocational, y'all, if y'all didn't know. I have another full-time job. I do youth ministry. I'm in grad school. I have a small business. And God has just spoken to my heart to write a book. Now, how am I going to do all that and not wake up at 5 o'clock? There's literally no way. There's just no way. Now, I could be lazy. And see, God knows what he's doing, y'all. He knew Asay is lazy, so I'm going to give him all these things to get done so that he cannot be lazy. We want to play video games, watch Netflix series continually. I mean, that Netflix series, Netflix gets exhausted by you. I mean, that your bandwidth that you clogging up and you grabbing hold of, you watch a series after series, binging, knowing you should be productive and getting things done. Am I talking to anybody in here? Okay, maybe not. I don't know. Now, see, this is the real challenge. See, when we get lazy, when we get hardened, right, the deceitfulness of sin, right? Believe it or not, it gets sinful when we start being lazy. We barely working while we're at work, stealing money. You think God's happy with that? How can God get the glory from that? From you being there, stealing money, doing a halfway job. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might as you're doing it to the Lord. We should be doing everything with excellence because God's name is attached to you. And you are attached to that thing, that job, whatever it is. Let me keep going. See, we refuse to listen and spend time with our wives. That's success as well. When my wife's smiling, I'm successful. If she's not smiling, that's a problem, and it's my fault. Husbands know what I'm talking about. I mean, let me keep going. Let me just, number three, let me get... I got to make sure I don't run out of time. Okay. Last one. Hindrance to allowing God to let. So the Bible says, let your light so shine. The third hindrance, fear. Fear. We know the text, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I believe that it is an embarrassment to the kingdom of God. An embarrassment. When we call ourselves Christians but are fearful to strive for the best in the area in which God has placed us career-wise, it's an embarrassment. It's just like when these athletes, these football stars, they do something stupid. It's an embarrassment to the team. The name of the team gets put out there, and everybody's embarrassed because of your dumb decision or their dumb decision. And I believe it's the same way with God. God is embarrassed by us being in that job, being in that school, being in that neighborhood, wherever you are, and we're not allowing God to be light through us. Oh, man, why is I say even there? Maybe I need to move him. Oh, God, why did I let go? You know, we start crying and belly aching to God. Well, I couldn't be light through you there. You weren't allowing me to do what I need to do over there. There was somebody there at your job that needed to see an example of a Christian because all they grew up was seeing jive pastors and preachers lying to them. But when you're there, maybe the name of Christianity, the name of Christ could get rejuvenated in their life. Let's go back to the text, Matthew 5:16. So we have to let. We can't let ignorance. We can't let laziness and fear hinder God using us to be light. Okay? So, now let's go to the rest of the text. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, okay, so what is the light? So let your light shine, right? So what is the light? What is the light? Ephesians chapter 4 tells us what these things are. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 25. Ephesians 4, man, Ephesians is such a powerful book. One of my favorite books in the Bible. It has so much truth in it. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, how do we, remember, we are the light. So what's the light? Let your light so shine. So again, these are another things that we need to get rid of. Verse 25. And I like the New Living Translation. It says here, so stop telling lies. That's one of them. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Again, when we do something good, the church looks good as Christians. When we do something negative or wrong, that's embarrassing, the church looks bad. For we are all parts of the same body. Verse 26 said, don't sin by letting anger control you. Are you the hothead at work? Always angry and complaining? Can't wait, you know, always got something negative to say about the boss? You at the, in the staff lounge? Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to who? The devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. The Bible's straight. I love how straight the Bible is. You don't have to guess. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't. I don't even know. God, why would God even have to put this in there? But he has to. For Christians, this is not for everybody. This is for Christians. Don't use foul or abusive language. Christians shouldn't curse. Demons curse. I'll leave that alone. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Light. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Now, this is the powerful part. This is light when we take advantage of this and remove these things out of us. God calls us to do these things. Get rid of. That means you do it. This is your trash. You need to throw it out. What is it? Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. You have to do it. You have to allow God to do it in your life and stop holding on to these negative, sinful habits that we have. Instead, I love this verse, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This is the light, guys. This is when we allow these things, God's Spirit can shine through us. Now, as we wrap up, so who's they? Who's they? That's the world. Let your light so shine before men that they, that's people in the world. That's people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that don't know anything about God, don't have a faith background. And they're looking. The world is desperate for what we have. Or they should be. Our good works is those who don't know Christ, so they, right? So we have to continue. How we treat each other is our good works. Our witness to a dying world, good works. Our continued development for sustainable Christian character, our good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Again in Ephesians. We are God's masterpiece. See, some of us think negatively about ourselves, but that's not what God says about us. We need to own and accept what Jesus Christ has given us and created us to be. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things as he has planned for us long ago. Again, God never says, oops, you're here for a reason. And there's things that he needs you to do where you are so that he can get the glory, and that, believe it or not, God getting the glory through you is where you get the most joy and satisfaction out of life. It's not doing what you think you should do. It's doing what God has created you to do. It's just like, how can a hammer be happy trying to saw? It makes no sense. You're a hammer. You should be doing hammer things. And if you saw a carpenter using a saw instead of a hammer, you're like, what's wrong with this guy? But God is like, man, I'm so desperate. I need to get him to get his attention. So maybe if I start using him as a hammer when he's a saw, maybe he'll start feeling so uncomfortable. He'll start saying, man, this is not for me. Then God say, finally, now I can finally use him where I need him. Finally, he gets it. Finally, they get it. Now, in the Andrews study Bible, I was looking this up earlier, and it says, lamps, right? Lamps. Lamps were mostly clay pots with wicks burning olive oil, okay? They were put on stands to maximize their effort. their benefit. The Christian's evangelistic outreach can be effective if it is strategically positioned in the world. So we want to reach out to this community? I mean, what better place could God put Tacoma Park? I mean, it's literally on Triangle. Everybody who lives in Tacoma Park, they can't but city on a hill. There's no way someone who lives in Tacoma Park should not be able to just point to where that big church with the silver steeple on. That's what some of us, some of them don't even know the name. But they know the building. Now it's time for us to be what goes on in the building. They know us, not just because of the building, but they know us because we're light. And they want what we have. The world should want what we have. It shouldn't be, I want to go to Hollywood for fame and fortune. No, I want to go to the Church of Jesus Christ for purpose and destiny. Hollywood should be coming to us. Hollywood should want what we have. But how many of our young people think the exact opposite? All they can think about is their name and lights and fame and fortune. But now, see, Hollywood is starting to get exposed because all of a sudden these people, these individuals are getting famous and successful, but their lives are contrary. And so they're getting caught up in negative, harmful, sinful habits, and they're getting exposed for a lot of sexual conduct outside of marriage, doing things negatively with children and all kind of stuff. It's starting to spill out because Hollywood can't sustain them. Hollywood has nothing for them. Those names and lights and the glitz and glamour and the money, without a true heart that is focused on who God is and who He created them to be, all that's going to do is cause you to allow the enemy in. And the last part, to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Like the young people say, it's when we have to give God shine, is what they call this, young people say, to give God shine, right? That's their new slang thing that they use as of today. That's all I know, okay? But see, we as God's people are placed here to give God the shine, giving Him the credit and pointing everyone to Him. What made you so successful? It's my God. It's His word. It's my relationship with Him. He's given me the opportunity and He's given me the character. See, you know, even the world now is looking for individuals and leaders and business owners and CEOs with character, because these CEOs are getting exposed and the company is looking bad because they might be talented, but have no character to sustain it. The world is looking for people with character that will be honest and true and noble and have integrity. They should be hiring us to take those positions. We have the talent, but sometimes we allow things and fear and negativity and all these things to hinder us from even wanting those positions. But God can use you just like He used Joshua, He used Daniel. Put him on the top, and Joseph, so that not only could he get the glory, but he could turn around and help others. That is the exact same thing for you and I. God needs you to be in a certain place, so not only can He get the glory, you can get the satisfaction and joy from using your gifts and talents for His glory, but you could turn around and help win others to Christ. You can help pull up, and you can help support and finance those that are struggling with dollars, money. Yes, God's church can take advantage of the money and opportunities that are there when we are successful, so that we can get our children to Christian education without having to struggle. See, all of our young people should have that opportunity. Let me keep going. The Bible says that Isaiah 60 verse 1-3, arise Jerusalem, let your light shine to all, for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of God of the Lord rises and appears over you. and all nations, Hollywood included, shall arise and come to your light, and mighty kings to see your radiance. This is what God's been wanting to do this whole time. See, the Bible says also in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, do everything without complaining or arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. If we allow to let us be light, it is now it's becoming to the point, and we know we're living in the last days, it's easy to see the light. It's easy to see someone with character and virtue at their job because it seems like everybody else is doing contrary. It's easy for those finite individuals to rise to the top, for us to rise to the top. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, you will be proud that I did not run in vain and that my work was not useless. As we close, I truly believe that Jesus is about to return. There's no question in my mind. But God needs us to be light of that winning, so that winning in the spirit, so we can show what winning in the spirit looks like. God needs us to be fulfilled, motivated, inspiring, and successful to get the world's attention to want what we have. If you are willing to allow God to use you to be successful and to give the God the glory from your good works in 2018 so the world could be drawn to him, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us, Lord, for not wanting the best for ourselves and for our families. Lord God, sometimes there's things you want to teach us. There's things you want to expose in us. But when we don't strive for the best, there's lessons we're missing out on, God, from you and your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to desire success, not for ourselves, so that you can get the glory, so that, Lord, you can use us to be light and examples to others so that they can want what we have. They can want the peace that passes all understanding. They can want the joy and the love that we have for one another. Father, in 2018, let that be the new year that you can use your people to be successful through and let your light shine to this world that is dark. Lord, whatever is hindering us, if it's ignorance, if it's fear, if it's laziness, God, remove it from us right now so that we can be who you called us to be and really have the joy and satisfaction out of life so that we can find our destiny and our purpose. And we can go to work with a smile, go minister with a smile, because and inspire the world to want what we have. So bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said together, amen.